College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Chris and Amy Show.
Check it out.
St. Louis, Mound City, we are going to have a great day today.
Now, Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ranji on KMOX.
Let's take it from the top.
Nobody freak out,
what?
But it's almost Friday, which means it's almost the weekend. Today
because
is the Friday of
the
weekdays. That's
Thursday
right.
Thursday is the Friday of the weekdays, and that's a wonderful thing. Congratulations, everybody.
You made it.
We did it.
You made it.
Because
you did it.
Tomorrow, you're going to mail it in.
Oh,
today,
dude.
You start writing the letter that you're going to mail in, if you
it
know what I mean.
It is mail it in Friday tomorrow for Amy and me. Well, no, we're not going to. We're going to bring it.
I thought every Friday was mail it in Friday. At any rate,
yeah.
Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday. Have a great day today, and we'll help you along in that. At least we're going to try. And we need your participation throughout the morning and into the afternoon. The phone number is 314-436-7900. That's open for texts. Also, the Odyssey app, which is the thing that you use to listen to the show on your phone, totally free. Just download it. You get the podcast when the show is over. All the shows here, in fact. And you can listen to Cardinals baseball with it when the season starts, and that is coming up. We want you to leave us a voice message directly from the app. There's a button that says send a message, record your message, and send it to us.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everybody will be talking about.
Well, the Super Bowl continues. Well, the Super Bowl week, I should say, continues. We are right there in the middle of it. Sunday is the big game. Is there less interest in this Super Bowl than there has been in previous years? We are going to get into that today.
And it's been a busy week in Washington, D.C. Did you have trouble keeping up? Don't worry. We've got CBS Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett to answer all of your D.C. questions.
Blues will play the Panthers tonight. Both the Fighting Illini and the Missouri Tigers in men's basketball losing their respective games last night. So we'll talk to Bernie Miklas today about all of this. Also, the Hall of Fame for the NFL. The announcements are coming today. We're going to find out if Torrey Holt will be an NFL or a football Hall of Famer. That's what they call it.
And Ranj, speaking of Hall of Fame, I do have to give a shout out to some loyal listeners of the Chris and Amy Show, but also a pretty unique situation here with the Rockhurst soccer teams.
Oh, Rockhurst soccer.
The Rockhurst soccer team from 75, 76, and 78. Those teams were inducted into the Hall of Fame at Rockhurst University in Kansas City last weekend. The first teams to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. So all of the guys on that Rockhurst men's soccer team from the 70s back then, congratulations. And thank you for listening.
Yeah, awesome stuff. Amy, we talked yesterday about Super Bowl tickets, and there was a story about how it is cheaper this year. It's still several thousand dollars to go see a Super Bowl. You know, if you're going to buy tickets on the secondary market, still really expensive. But we were talking yesterday about the fact they are cheaper than usual. And we know the Kansas City Chiefs are trying to three-peat. They would be the first team ever in NFL history to win three Super Bowls in a row. And we got a lot of Chiefs fans here in St. Louis. We are the home of the Kansas City Chiefs, so you can hear regular season and some of the playoff football throughout the year on KMOX. So we know there's a strong, you know, a contingency of Chiefs fans here. What I'm wondering is, because of the ticket prices, you know, we know a lot of people are going to watch. It has been, what, since 2008 was the last time that at least 100 million people did not watch the Super Bowl in some capacity. So we know it's going to be a big event on Sunday. But are people tired of the Chiefs? Are people tired of them to the point where maybe there just isn't as much interest as there used to be?
So there is such thing as Chiefs fatigue, as people have been calling it, because of the Chiefs. Obviously, they're going for a three-peat. I personally love a dynasty. I love it. Yeah, I'm a Chiefs fan. We're the home of the Chiefs, and we all get it. I grew up as a Rams fan, so I'm not the diehard, live and breathe the Chiefs, like so many fans who, like my family members, my aunt and uncle, who had season tickets for years when all the Chiefs did was lose.
Yeah.
For 30 years they lost. For 30 years they went to losing games at Arrowhead. So I know I don't have that, but I'll jump on the bandwagon. But even if it weren't the Chiefs, I do love a dynasty. When the Pittsburgh Penguins were going for their three-peat, I think it was 07, 08, they were going to try to win again. No, that's not. Anyway, I forgot when it was, but it was later than that, that the Penguins were going to try to win three Stanley Cups in a row. Of course, I'm not a Penguins fan at all, but there's something about a dynasty that's special, and I like it. It's a spectacle.
I do, too, and I think it is actually good for sports to have a villain team that everybody else can hate.
Sure.
You know, that's, I think it's good. It's good that you're tired of the Kansas City Chiefs. And I'll be honest with you, I am sick of them. I'm tired of the Chiefs. Can't wait to talk to Dane and Hughes tomorrow, who's the Chiefs radio analyst. but I'm done with them. I'm done with them. But I think that's good. That's good that I feel that way. But I wonder if the general public, and I've seen a lot of memes which have come out, you know, in the last few weeks, and especially after this Super Bowl matchup was announced, that, you know, they show the map of the United States, and it'll tell you who's rooting for who. And there's this really small dot in Kansas City. These are the people rooting for the Chiefs. Then the Philadelphia, there's a really small dot. These are the people rooting for that. And then the rest of the country is hoping both teams lose.
Right.
Because, you know, nobody likes Philadelphia teams. Everybody else is tired of the Chiefs. So is this a situation where maybe, you know, you're going to watch the Super Bowl. We know 100 million people are going to watch it. And when you add in all the platforms, so not just whether it's on CBS or Fox, but streaming, simulcasting, whatever, almost 124 million people watched last year. It's not the most watched. The most watched was that we just had the anniversary of it yesterday, the Patriots-Falcons game. Where Atlanta was up 28-3 and blew it.
Yeah.
That was the most watched of all of the games that we've ever seen.
Yeah, so we'd love to hear your thoughts on the matter. The Odyssey app, leave us a voice message, text 314-436-7900.
I didn't know if you wanted me to jump in and help.
No, I was losing it there. But
it was like,
I also...
that reminded me, and this is completely off topic, but I'm telling you anyway, when I was in college... there was a basketball game, and during timeouts, the band would perform. And so they had the sousaphone players.
Yeah.
So the thing that wraps around your body. And they did this really weird thing on the floor where they came out, and there were three band members, each with another band member on their shoulders playing the sousaphone. And then they were kind of... they were kind of weaving in and out of each other.
This is like a story that I would tell.
I don't want to listen. They were weaving in and out of each other like the Shriners cars do during the parades. Okay. So they were doing that, and they were finished, and the play was about to start back up. So they're coming off the court, and the last couple, the guy that was holding the girl was struggling.
Oh, no.
And his knees were starting to buckle.
Oh, no.
And the cheerleaders... we're like, should we help? Should we not help? Should we come out there? And then she fell and face planted and broke the sousaphone. I felt like that just now when you were struggling with the phone number. I'm like, should I help or should I just let her fall?
You let me break the sousaphone. Oh, I did break the sousaphone, and that was the number.
Sorry to derail, but that was in my head. So, but we do want to know. I mean, tell us, are you sick of this? Are you sick of the Chiefs? Are you sick of this dynasty that they are currently in the middle of?
I love a dynasty.
Or are you going to watch anyway?
People are going to watch for sure. But sometimes I feel like Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce aren't the most likable characters, but Patrick Mahomes should be. Travis Kelce is whatever. Maybe it's overexposure. But I feel like when you watch the Bills, I like Josh Allen. I do. I like Josh Allen. When you watch the Eagles, you know.
I'm in love with Saquon
Barkley. I just love him. He seems like a good dude. And he's amazing to watch. Are Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce less likable, or are they just overexposed because they've been winning? And so, because Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, right? And his podcast and Jason Kelce and all of the commercials. Are they victims of overexposure?
It's funny you say that, because we have a text message that says, I think your Chiefs fatigue comes from too much Taylor Swift over the past few years. That to me is the least of it. I don't
right,
really
I think
care
they would
about
be, they would be exposed anyway.
Yeah,
with
I don't,
the podcast and all of that.
Taylor Swift doesn't bother me. The fact they show her doesn't bother me. I'm all right with that. I'm not one of these people who gets bent out of shape over it. Like, I don't care. They're going to show crowd shots.
That's how I
so
felt
if they
about,
show her, that's fine.
That's how I felt about John Hamm and all his scarves.
And the Blues games.
Stop showing John Hamm. We get it.
Yeah, but we need to tout our celebrities.
I guess. I love John Hamm.
I do too.
He was our Taylor Swift.
So that's not it. I think for me, it's just, you know, I'm salty over Patrick Mahomes being a Chief and not a Bear. That's what it's about.
But you shouldn't be salty because you need to know that the Bears would have destroyed Patrick Mahomes.
That's correct.
And he would have fallen into the abyss.
I remind myself of that all the time.
Yeah.
They would have absolutely ruined him.
Yes, they would have.
But it is good. We're telling you, you may hate the idea of a dynasty. You may hate the idea there's one team that keeps winning. And I certainly, you know, I don't like the Chiefs necessarily, but I like that there are the Chiefs, if that makes sense.
It absolutely
I like that they exist.
Sense. That's how I feel about parades. I don't like going
don't
to parades. Go,
I don't want to go, but you like
them.
The fact they're
I
there.
I love knowing they're going on.
So let us know what you think. 314-436-7900. Do you have the Chiefs fatigue? Let us know. Also on the Odyssey app, just record us a message. There's a button that says send a message. You record it. You send it to us. Man, we want to hear from you. That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. As she said, Major Garrett joins us at the bottom of the hour after the 10:30 news. A lot happening in Washington today. It's Chris and Amy on KMOX. Chiefs are in the Super Bowl. Did you hear?
Oh, my gosh. This Super Bowl?
Yeah, this one. They are playing against the Eagles. Bernie Miklas will join us next hour. We'll talk about the matchup that is coming up. I love Super Bowl week. Might be a little tired of the Kansas City Chiefs. A lot of people have that fatigue that is happening right now. And we have asked you, because ticket prices for the Super Bowl, this is the whole premise, they're just not as expensive
they're
as they
are. They're half off.
They're half off. They usually are, and they are, trust me, they're still very, very expensive. But compared to previous years, not so much. And some of it might be attributed to the fact that you've got a lot of Chiefs fans who would have otherwise gone, who've been like, eh. You know, I've seen it. I've already been there. And other people who are just tired of them and people who don't like Philadelphia teams. So it could be a combination of all of those things. We've asked you what you think. Barbara is in St. Louis with us on KMOX. Hi, Barbara.
Yes, hello. And I will tell you that we love the Chiefs. And we love Patrick Mahomes. And we love Kelce Grammer. And we hope the Chiefs win. And it would be great for Kelce because he's retiring after this year. And basically, this would be great for the NFL. And Patrick Mahomes is a superstar. He is the best football player I've ever seen. So anyway, I would say this is great for our state.
Okay, and I think I think that's true. First of all, Travis Kelce.
Yep.
I don't believe is retiring. If I'm not mistaken, during the Monday press thing that they do, or it might have been Tuesday, I'm almost positive he said he thinks he has several years of football left in him.
How old is he? 33?
32, 33.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Also, I love that she called him Kelce Grammer.
Well, you know what? I actually love Kelce Grammer, too.
Love him.
I love Frasier. I don't know if he's a good guy. I like Frasier, the character Frasier. Yeah. Absolutely. I will say she does bring up a great point. We talk about revenue. It's good for the state.
Yeah.
It's good for the state of Missouri. And you can always use that revenue. You can always use attention. I do think maybe we just get fatigued too quickly because how often do you hear people say, we're so sick of the coasts. It's the East Coast or the West Coast, New York and LA, and no one else matters. This is Kansas City, Missouri. It does not get any more Midwest than this. So does it take the edge off? Let's say you're not a Chiefs fan.
Right.
Does it take the edge off that it's not another Boston team, that it's not the New England Patriots? And let's say you hate both the Eagles and the Chiefs. Wouldn't you vote for the Midwestern team over another East Coast team?
I think about that a lot, that if I remove my own fandom of my own team, I do like the fact that it is a Midwestern dynasty instead of it being the LA Rams.
Right.
or the New York Giants, which that would never happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, or the Patriots. It is satisfying that there is a superstar football player who wound up in the middle of the country as opposed to on the coast.
And it's Kansas City,
and that's
City,
the
Missouri.
Reason they're the dynasty. And Andy Reid. They're both a great combination.
So I will say, we're talking about likability. I love Andy Reid. Ronj, I this question you would probably be able to answer maybe a bit better. Chicago is the Midwest. At the same time, I don't know that I put them as a Midwest team like Kansas City. I think it's because they're such a big
market. They're a big
market
team.
Would they count? Would people dislike a Chicago dynasty
probably
as much because they're a
totally
big market team?
Yeah, I think there would be a, around the country, there might be a, oh, nice, the Bears are good again because they're, you know, they're a historic franchise. You know, I think football is better when teams like them are good, when the Giants are good, when Washington is good. The sport is better when you have those teams being strong, but there would be quick fatigue. I think after that first year of them being good, people get tired of
it. Right, because that's kind of the double bonus for the Chiefs. It's not just that they're Midwest. They're a mid/small market. I don't know what you would call it, mid-market.
Tom and Kirkwood with us on KMOX. Good morning, Tom.
I'm Tom, but I'm not from Kirkwood.
Oh, it says Kirkwood right here. Sorry.
That's okay.
Okay. I like the Chiefs. It reminds me a lot of the Greatest Show on Turf, Rams. And I never did get why people would hate a team, somebody or a team because they're good. This kind of reminds me of when people hated Tiger Woods because he won so much. I mean, okay, what do you want the guy to do?
I agree with you.
Play bad?
Tom, I agree with you because the Tiger Woods thing, the only reason I had interest in golf at all was because of him.
100%.
That sport is fun if there is a dominant player. Yeah. And like I've said a bunch of times, if there's a dominant team, it is more fun to root for the sport in general because you do root for that team to lose.
Yeah.
And when somebody takes them down, it's more exciting.
You're so right about Tiger Woods. I loved watching him. Like, he was the spectacle. He was a one-man spectacle. He was so amazing. It was so much fun to watch. I've always loved tennis, but I can tell you, I don't have the same passion like I used to when the Williams sisters played.
Sure.
I loved watching Serena and Venus, and I loved watching Serena's dominance. I loved watching their dominance when they would play each other in the final. And while I know there are still great players, the Williams sisters were so good for the sport. And I don't remember. I never had fatigue with the Williams sisters.
It was awesome
to watch. It was so much fun to watch them. Yeah, just their dominance. It was amazing.
This text message says, I was raised in a Dallas Cowboys household, moved to the Lou, and then football Cardinals left town. I was a Rams fan. Then they left, so now I'm a Chiefs fan. Zero fatigue. This person is a bandwagoner. That's what this is.
Hey, but
Except the football Cardinals were not a bandwagon team.
Yeah, I feel like this person is just accepting the cards he's been dealt. Yes.
That is right.
It's that's how I feel. Like I said, I get it when people say, Amy, you're not a Chiefs fan like I am. No, you're probably right. I'm not. I was a Rams fan. Before that, I was a Packers fan because we didn't have a team. So it may be anathema to have liked the Packers and the Rams and the Chiefs, but you gotta work with the cards you're dealt, man.
As we said, it has been a very busy week in Washington. First couple of weeks, actually, of Donald Trump's, it's been now 3 weeks, I guess, of his presidency. A lot has happened in the past week, so we're glad to have Major Garrett, our weekly conversation with him. He's the chief Washington correspondent for CBS News, and he will join us next on the Chris and Amy Show.
Well, it's been a busy and chaotic week in Washington, D.C., and so we thought we would check in with CBS Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett on a Thursday, as we do every Thursday. Major, good to talk to you this week.
I need to check in with your producer again. That's Dazed and Confused from Led Zeppelin. Are you suggesting that's what I am?
Not you.
No, not you.
Just everyone else.
No.
everyone else, Major.
No, if anybody's got a handle on it, it's you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good, good. All right.
Hey, people are still bringing up to me our conversation about you not wearing battery-powered pants to the inauguration.
Yeah.
They go, let me tell you about a little thing called the Secret Service.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. We're going to keep that one on the highlight reel. Yeah. We're going to keep that one on the reel.
That's all we do. Hey, all we do on this show is create bangers. That's all we do.
No actual content. No, just bangers.
Yeah,
just
that's it,
bangers.
Man.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, right, so as much fun as this has been.
Yes.
Okay. Major, I'm going to be completely honest. It's been pretty hard to follow. What's been going on in DC? I'm having a hard time even kind of following what is a threat. What is a proposition? What's something that's actually taking place? So I guess let's start with the FBI and the CIA and the offer to buy out some of those federal employees. What exactly is going on?
It's an offer. Very few will take it up. That is to say, the people who work for the CIA, the FBI, tend to like their jobs. They're oriented toward the work. They have qualified for it. They've, in many respects, been trained and retrained and have gone up the ladder. So I don't think we're going to see a voluntary reduction in the number of CIA personnel or FBI personnel. That's a separate issue from non-voluntary reductions, and there will be and have been already at the FBI. I think the politics of this for the Trump administration and for President Trump are very simple. They don't anticipate any lingering negative feedback, especially from their base, but even the country writ large saying, or headlines capturing, efforts to reduce the size of the federal workforce. They think that's how most Americans will distill this and say, well, generally speaking, I'm happy with that. If, however, there are problems that arise because either federal employees have taken buyouts and left, or are distracted, or are fearful, and they're not as good as their job, and something happens under the FBI's purview or the CIA's purview, terrorist attack or something else, that is when this will be recontextualized. People will view it differently. But right now, the president is assuming that as long as the conversation is about trying to get a handle on spending and the size of the federal workforce, he will not pay a tremendous political price. There are practical realities that are already slowing that down. Most federal employees are represented by a labor union. They have rights. They are in the civil service. Those rights have been protected and recognized by Congress and federal courts. So there's going to be a process. If you voluntarily go for a buyout, is the president going to make good on that? Is he going to pay you for the remainder of the year? If so, where does that money come from? Congress hasn't appropriated that. Where does that money come from? There are just a great number of questions about this. But we're not going to see a hollowing out of the CIA. We're not going to see mass resignations or buyouts at the FBI. Those people love their work, and they want to be there for a reason. It's not only patriotic, it's the work that they like to do, and it's not as if you can find replicable work in the private sector. Mostly you can't. If you're really involved in that kind of stuff, that's the agency you're involved with, and they're going to stay.
What about what we're hearing FBI, members of the FBI who are going to be let go or, I don't know, prosecuted or maybe just fired for their role in January 6th? What is that?
Okay, so there will not be, according to the current FBI leadership and what has been said in confirmation hearings, firings of people who worked on a January 6th case if you were tasked by your field office supervisor to work on a January 6th case. And January 6th case were worked on by the FBI all over the country because people came to Washington, stormed the Capitol, then went back home. So they said if you were an FBI agent and you were assigned and you don't have discretionary wherewithal to say, well, I don't want to accept that assignment. No, you take the assignment, you work the case. In those instances, at confirmation hearings and lots of other public representations, those agents are not going to be fired. However, senior leaders within the FBI have been dismissed, and that is because their aggressiveness or their hyper-curiosity about chasing down leads in January 6th case to this new incoming administration appear overtly hostile to President Trump and his agenda. Whether that's true or not, they're empowered to make those determinations and change senior leadership. However, having said all the things I just said, FBI agents are still concerned. Why are they concerned? They're not going to lose their jobs necessarily, but this list about anyone who worked on a January 6th case has now been gathered and handed over to senior FBI and Justice Department leadership. How secure is that list? Why do FBI agents care about this? They don't want their names out there. Why? And think about this for a second. Just think about this for a second. FBI agents in our country are concerned for themselves and their family as of having their identities revealed because other Americans could be unhappy with a task they were given to investigate what was a fully visible crime committed on Capitol Hill on January 6, 2021. They don't want be exposed to threats or violence, and they don't want their families exposed to threats or violence. That is a continuous cancer from January 6, 2021. That's the only way to describe it.
So there is, I was going to ask you if that is a, can you make a good argument for doing what they're doing right now or the intent behind it?
So the argument would be there was an overzealousness to January 6th prosecutions. Too many people were caught up in too extensive a dragnet. I would say if you're concerned about that, and you believe that the FBI might have been too aggressive about chasing down people, did they go through due process? There are allegations, reckless ones on Capitol Hill, that due process was denied. Not true. It was not denied. Everyone got due process. And many people either pled guilty or were convicted. And there were cases that were pending. All those pending cases have been dropped. But from the Trump point of view, everything associated to January 6th, by its very nature, was not a standard criminal investigation. It was a political pursuit, a persecution. Now, history will record whether or not that's actually true. I don't believe that's true. I believe people who stormed the Capitol, who beat up cops, who went inside the Capitol and disrupted proceedings to stop the certification of a legal, valid presidential election, committed a crime. Full stop. And they need to be held to account. President Trump doesn't believe that. That's why he pardoned all of them, even the most vicious cop beaters that day. He's pardoned them all. That's the dividing line. What do you believe January 6th was or wasn't? If you believe that anyone prosecuted is a basically innocent American patriot who must be pardoned, and anyone who investigated them must be punished or threatened with the future of their employment in the FBI, then you're on the Trump side of it. History will record not only what this actually is, but the damage that might stem from this, because the damage that might stem from this is if you win a political argument in this country, you can rewrite the definition of what law is. That's the great underlying stakes of this matter.
Major, what is the update for some of the higher profile confirmations like RFK Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard and Kash Patel?
So there's a little bit of wobbliness about Kash Patel this morning. I'm not really buying it. If Tulsi Gabbard's going to get confirmed, and she's certainly on the way to that, then I don't see how Kash Patel is not confirmed. And RFK Jr., I always thought, though there would be turbulence, would be confirmed because he has, unique among all other Trump cabinet secretary nominees, a full standing MAGA adjacent echo chamber, Make America Healthy Again. And lots of people associated with the MAGA movement have created sort of a subsidiary for RFK Jr. No other cabinet secretary nominee has that sort of subsidiary political entity status. RFK Jr. does. He's on his way to confirmation. I was surprised that Tulsi Gabbard made it through committee so easily. And once you make it through committee, it's very hard to see a process by which you're defeated on the floor. Kash Patel hasn't made it through committee yet. Again, there's some suggestion this morning. It's a little bit wobbly. I don't know. It feels to me right now, as I'm talking to you, that Trump's going to get everything he wants.
So as I know, we sort of started the segment talking about, you know, everything that's really happened and people in government concerned about their jobs. How much concern is there about the DOGE committee, generally speaking, or the whatever you want to call it, organization mm-hmm. that Elon Musk is heading up right now? Just the fact that it exists and it seems to have unilateral power, even though Trump earlier this week said he can't do anything without Trump's approval.
Yeah, Trump said that. We don't know what the approval process is. We don't know how regularly Elon Musk or his associates check in with anyone at the White House. What we do know is, minimally, the wealthiest person in America, who gave $280 million to President Trump's reelection campaign, has access to the largest single database of Americans' private information, financial and otherwise, Social Security number, bank account number, address, everything. That database is now viewable by Elon Musk and his assigned associates. We don't know in what way, shape, or form they have secured systems upon which to view this, meaning even if they have no evil intent whatsoever, even if they're just benignly looking for waste, fraud, and abuse, a bad actor, a hacker from Iran, North Korea, China, Russia, there are many hackers who constantly try to penetrate the federal government, can find possibly their way through a less secured system because it's with Elon Musk and his 19, 21, 22, 23-year-old associates. We don't know what cybersecurity protections they've created at all. None. And no one's explaining it to anyone. And we don't have any real sense the White House is even asking. And I know my friends have been texting me saying, wait a minute, I get my tax refund every year via my bank account because I file my taxes electronically. Does Elon know all that? I'm like, he sure does. Well, could he reach into my bank account? I'm like, I don't know. I don't think so, but I don't know. Like, could he transfer money out? Could he stop? Could he give my refund to somebody else? I'm like, I don't know. But those all seem to be valid questions, valid concerns, because people who have no expertise here are now in the system. And even if you're on just a read-only mode, and we're not really sure yet if they're in it or can just read it, but just think about this. Elon Musk has many, many, many federal contracts. Starlink and SpaceX, among the two biggest. Meaning he has other federal contractor recipients who are direct competitors of him. By being in this system at the Treasury Department, where every piece of data about anyone who receives any money from the federal government, including contractors, resides, at bare minimum, the most innocent way to think about this is Elon Musk now knows every single thing about every federal contractor who competes with him. That is a competitive advantage. It is akin to insider knowledge, and uniquely he possesses it because he was a huge contributor to President Trump's campaign. There is no visible oversight. There is no way to understand how, if at all, he is even weighing potential conflicts of interest. And he's in possession of all this data, and no one else is. That makes him kind of a central player in the federal government and its disbursement of some $6 trillion a year. I'm not exactly sure that's what Trump supporters were voting for.
Whew, yeah, that's a lot to take in, Major. Well, as we let you go, is there anything you want to tell us?
Yeah, anything?
Anything?
Yeah,
not quite yet.
Okay.
Not quite yet.
Man.
All right. I mean,
not quite yet, but real soon.
Yeah, what is soon? I mean, soon can be
it's a little
a year.
Yeah, a little hurtful, but
No. We will have updates this month.
This month, okay. Okay.
Yes, we will.
Well,
yes,
that's
we
exciting.
Will.
We can live with that.
Well, yes. Thank you.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you so much, Major. We look forward to it. Look forward to talking to you next week. Keep up the good work.
I will try.
All right. Thanks,
see
Major. That is Major Garrett, CBS Chief Washington Correspondent.
Just drinking from the fire hose, that guy.
He is.
It's Chris and Amy show on KMOX. Did you see this? Next.
Now, did you see this with Chris and Amy?
So, Ranj, it's been almost a year since the deadly collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, Maryland. Almost a year. And so officials earlier this week unveiled their designs to replace the bridge. It could be completed by 2028. It would cost upwards of $1.7 billion. It is a very beautiful design. But, I mean, we move so quickly through our headlines and through the news and through disasters and through politics that, I mean, that bridge collapse was a horrific tragedy and takes a while to recover from something like that. So they do have the design for the new bridge.
Well, I guess that's a little quicker than I thought. What was the initial estimate? Do you remember how long they said it was going to take to rebuild?
I do not.
I mean, a complete collapse of a bridge is, you know, so, I mean, to, yeah, that really is sad. And it's good they're going to get that thing back up and running, though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, a brand new design that looks sleek. So there you go.
Did you see this? It is a video of a man in New Zealand in the area of Palmerston North. You ever heard of Palmerston North?
No.
So it was a public swimming pool.
Oh, no.
And he's bathing in it. He's got a bar of soap.
Oh.
And it's a pool filled with children.
Is he naked?
No, he's got shorts on.
Okay.
And he has decided to take a bath in the public swimming
pool. That's not how that works.
He's got soap.
Yeah.
And so kids started to get out of the pool because parents were saying, hey, get out of the pool. This weirdo is in there taking a bath.
Because even though he has shorts on, it feels violating. Like, you shouldn't be in a pool with kids pretending like you're taking a bath or getting cleaned up, which is also gross because of chlorine and dirt. And
yeah, have you ever seen something like this?
No, that's really gross.
I know a lot of people who will not shower. Well, I guess they didn't when they were younger. Instead of showering, they just jump in the pool. Which I think is super gross.
So that is worse. I would rather be my own stinky sweaty than be in the pool with... Listen, when you're in the pool, everybody's bottom is in the pool as well.
That's right.
And you don't know how well people
never
wipe or clean.
Put water from the pool in your mouth. You know, people do that, then they spit it.
Yes!
Don't do that.
Little kids do that.
There's a very good chance that's butt water.
Oh!
Don't do that. I don't care how much chlorine is in the pool. No.
I feel nauseated.
Feel
also, last thing as we go to break, today would have been Bob Marley's 80th birthday.
Today's Tom Brokaw's 85th birthday.
Wow.
How about that?